Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control. Hey. A bad motherfucker riding through the night. A 50 motherfucker and I love to fucking fight. Picture me.
There you go.
Hey, what do you say, amigo? How are we doing today?
Good.
I want to say hello to everybody out there. I'm glad you all survived the holidays. It was a depressing time for a lot of people. A lot of people appreciated the love, but we all seem to pull through. I know you were awful busy yourself with your family and friends and all that, amigo. Got a lot of good love from everybody. Well, let's bring everybody up to par. I'm not reading anything special out of Sacramento that could change the laws or anything that I'm looking at, so if anybody wants to call and tell me something that's good. Hang on one quick second. Everybody read a quick note of their hand. Okay. Anyway, back. We have got the... wait a second. Give me another note there. Oh, okay. All right. I want to thank those people sending that notes to me and messages, and I understand everything there at all. So good. So let me tell you what's happening this weekend, Phil. First of all, there's no great runs anywhere. I've checked my schedule, and I don't know if you found something, but there is the Easy Rider bike show in Long Beach.
Correct.
Now, if you haven't done an Easy Rider bike show, well, folks, these are concept bikes. These aren't exactly bikes you ride every day, but concept bikes means they're showing us some alternatives to our stock motorcycles. So I enjoy going up there, and I also enjoy meeting some of the fantastic bike builders.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand this year we're going to showcase the talents of Rusty Coons.
Correct.
And Rusty Coons has been most famous for, or infamous, if you would, for being on Sons of Anarchy. He was it, I forgot, Quince?
Quinn.
Quinn on Sons of Anarchy. In case you don't know which one I'm talking about, he'd a big one. He'd a real big one, folks. Okay. So he's done with that one, and I think we can safely say that he's been doing another TV series with Paul Tuttle Sr., and they're going to be building custom vehicles, I guess, not just motorcycles. That show is done shooting, and I think that'll be coming out, and I think it's next month. So check that out. See what you think of it, boys and girls. If you haven't been to the Easy Rider Bike Show, find one in your neighborhood. Check it out. It's not your local average Shady Tree Mechanics building. These guys are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not you like their work, that's up to yourself. Myself, my concept in my lifestyle has changed. My brothers and I used to be known for our really long front ends. I had 38 overspringer, suicide, da-da-da-da-da. Now I got a hot rod Dyna Fat. I needed to ride more long distance, so my style changes. But I like to go to the Easy Rider Bike Show. You get some different ideas, and you speak to the bikers and builders. I mentioned Rusty Coons, but the band. Let me tell you about the band. The band's going to be called the Fried Brothers, and Harry and his family. I'm going to call them a basic Southern Fried Rock. That's kind of yeah, okay. They do one of my favorite songs, and the refrain from the song is, get on, hold tight, shut up. He meets a girl. She wants to know, can she get a ride? He says, you know, get on, hold tight, shut up. Now, before the song ends, she's tired of this going on all night long, and she tells him she's ready for some action. So she tells him, get on, hold tight, and shut up. Nice play words and all that. So I thought it was funnier and shit. So the Fried Brothers will be playing a lot of good songs. This is a bunch of motorcyclists who are musicians. That's the way I can describe them, because to my knowledge, they've always taken their motorcycles with them. So that's kind of cool, boys and girls. The Fried Brothers. You get a chance to come to Long Beach. It is in the convention center. That's 300 East Orange Boulevard. Convention Center 300 East Ocean Boulevard in Long Beach. I know everybody can't make it down, so I'm encouraging everybody, check an Easy Rider bike show out. It's a little something different. I enjoy doing a more basic grounds roof type of shows and meeting younger people building stuff, but you want to meet the pros. You want to take time to ask them, and I know anybody wants to spend time talking to Rusty. Rusty shares all his advice and suggestions. He's the most stand-up of all the bike builders I know personally. He's a good guy. And I think we're going to have, oh, my God, we're going to have women models everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have, it's a one-day show. And I'm thinking it's, is it 10 o'clock to 7, give or take, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's about right on that. I don't have the flyer in front of me, boys and girls, so I got to apologize for this. I'm trying to wing this off my head. Besides the, I talk Rusty and all that, the top manufacturing reps will be there. They're showing off their latest products. All right, if you don't know me, I really got to tell you, I don't care how sophisticated your radio is, your Disco Duck CB. I don't care how good your GPS is. I really don't care. But I'm a dinosaur. For you people that have all that sophisticated stuff, all the reps will be there. And they're going to show you what's the best thing to do on motorcycles. Now, just because I say I won't have any of that crap on my bike, most of the guys I ride with have got the cell phones, and when we get lost a lot, they just hit the button, ask for directions, and there we go. I'm amazed at the technology, but I just don't really care. So in one sense, I'm being hypocritical because I say I won't put it on my bike or have nothing to do with it, but my friends do, so I don't know. But talking to the manufacturing reps, they are so high-tech now with equipment. They come into my shop, my brother Mike Kennedy, my cell phone, Kennedy's Custom Cycles in Oceanside, and they give me demonstrations that, I got to say right now, we have a 26-year-old nephew, Kyle. Thank God Kyle's there. He and the reps talk shit about shit, which I don't even begin to understand. Now, if I look at Kyle's bike, and everybody at Kennedy's Custom Cycles who works must ride a bike. You can't have a vehicle, car, truck. That's not going to happen. You can have one, just don't have a driver to work. But the technology is so far beyond. Now, Phil, you're mm-hmm. in the quasi-world. You're not into all the disco stuff, but you understand the basic technologies and all that. You stay mm-hmm. on top of that, so I'll give you credit for that. Again, myself, I don't really care. So if you cannot make the Easy Rider Bike Show in Long Beach, look in your own neighborhood and find out when the next show is. You'd be surprised. Mostly because, again, the changes that are going on are phenomenal. Let me stop here for a second because I want to mention something. Did you get a present in the mail today?
Yeah, I did.
You did get something. I understand that I didn't get the whole story, but...
I never got the whole story either.
Something about you have an itch and...
I have no idea.
Okay, I don't know. I wonder is... Ms. Cha-Cha out there somewhere. I wonder if we can pull her in for a few seconds.
Chance. Nope.
Oh, she's not in there. Okay, well, we have a good friend of ours from Central California, Cha-Cha, and she sent both Philip and I a back scratcher for our itch that we seem to have. I've never had a woman send me a back scratcher. Is that your first also?
Mm-hmm.
She was nice enough to hand paint everything for us, so we can appreciate that. Now, we do have another big run coming up. And this is the Laughlin run coming up in April.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Laughlin run is another
she's
run.
In, she's in the chat room, Bill.
Okay, girl, she's going to pinch what I'm saying. Cha-Cha, we want to certainly thank you for taking care of that itch that Philip and I have. I really want to thank you.
Yeah.
Cha-Cha is the founder and president of the Soft Thunder Riders MC. And she's out of Central California, excuse me. She's connected with the Central California Confederation of Clubs. Cha-Cha was supposed to hook up with us and go into Mexico, do you remember, sometime back? But I guess Chacha just had more important things to do than go down to Mexico with us, I guess. Well, that's okay. Or maybe Chacha was afraid to go to Mexico with us. I wonder if that was the reason. I guess we'll never know for sure from Chacha because we haven't heard from her. Even though we were nice enough to arrange a friend of ours, Maid Miriam, she had a nice big house and she offered Chacha and her friends space to stay and all that. But I guess Chacha...
Well, she had problems with her bike. She sent a message.
Quit
busting her balls.
Is that the message she sent me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, child, Chacha, either you're going to have to ride down sometime and hook up with me, or Philip and I are going to have to ride sometime and hook up with you, and then everything will be okay between us, little girl. Okay?
We got a caller from Central Michigan. In a few minutes, we're going to make another call.
Okay, 586-209. You want to say hello to us? You're live on the air. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please, and what you want to talk about. 586-209. It's all you.
Okay.
Hello?
No. Go to the next one.
No. Why would you get nervous talking to us? I'm a nice guy sometimes. Okay, how about what number you hit now? I'm kind of... 559?
I'm here, but I can hear you, but you guys can't hear me.
Who's that?
Yeah, Dan.
Hello?
Hello? Who's this? 559.
It's Chacha.
Chacha. Oh, I remember Chacha. I want to thank you for that instrument you gave us to scratch that itch that we have. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I thought you know, I scratched your back, you scratched mine, right?
There you go.
I had received a lot of different gifts from women over my lifetime, but I have to say only you sent me a hand-painted back scratcher. Thank you very much.
You're probably welcome.
Never have anybody ever send me anything like that again, so thank you very much.
Well, it's personalized. See, I even put your logo on there.
Yes, I very much appreciated that. And I see
you're
you put,
welcome.
Has her own name on it, so we don't fight over it. That was a real good smart. Very good. The same.
Yeah.
We get confused. And sometimes when people and Philip eats more than his half. I always get slighted.
Yeah.
So. Chacha,
yeah.
When are we going to
surprise? Say again.
Any runs coming up, or when are you coming down our way? What's going up your way?
Well, I haven't been on. You know, the radio station with you guys, I've been dealing with some personal issues, and I've had like two doctors I've talked to, and then yesterday I finally met with an orthosurgeon that's supposed to do the surgery, and I don't have very good news. I've been struggling with shoulder problems. I've been doing hair for 38 years, and my shoulders hurt, you know, and I try to lift weights. I do it for a while and go to the doctor. They say, you have tendonitis. Don't do it for 3 months. I've been doing this for 20 years. So finally, you know, I got MRIs and x-rays and a whole bit and talked to some specialists. And basically, I need complete shoulder replacements in both my shoulders. It's deteriorated so bad.
I'm not
doing real well about that. And he said if I keep using my arms the way I'm using them, it's a very big chance that I could get frozen shoulder, which means once it's gone, there's no repairing it. My shoulders will just freeze up, and I won't have use of my arms. So I had a good cry yesterday.
Now, cortisone shots will do nothing. You're too far beyond that?
Cortisone shots won't do anything. I asked last month, and he said, nope. It's, you know, if you look at me, I look healthy. There's nothing wrong. I'm strong as a horse, but my shoulder, I can't really lift the arm forward. And, you know, riding my bike, I ride a road king that's pretty heavy. And sometimes, like, you know, if I'm making a turn or something or if I'm going to park, weight of it hurts really bad. So I haven't been riding a whole lot. I dropped it. I went to the Hell's Angel run a couple of weeks ago. And parking, I dropped it. Well, actually, I got thrown from the bike. And then I dropped it. And I said, well, I'm not going to ride till I can figure out what's wrong with my arms. Not safe for anybody around me or me. So anyway, long story short, I'm not in good shape, and so, you know, a lot of psychological issues with me thinking, you know, I'm not going to be able to ride for a while, or my club, my work, I'm self-employed. I'm dealing with a whole lot of stuff, so I've kind of been a hermit, you know, kind of trying to what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you went to a red and white run. What area was that in, dear?
Vice Stadium. It was in Fresno. It was a toy run. It was really nice. It was really nice. I have pictures posted all over the Facebook. I actually have an album if you go to my webpage. And Merle did a good job. And we had billboards, and it was on the radio and the TV. They had, I think it was 3 or 4 diesel trucks full of bicycles that they gave to the Pavarella House to give presents and bicycles to all the kids. And they do a hell of a job. They really do an awesome job. So it was a good run.
Philip, if some of the our friends want to touch base with Chech and all that, do we have Chech's number in there? Or I'll give it up here.
Yeah, I have it all over Facebook. It's 559-901-5994. It's plastered all over Facebook. So
okay, good.
You know,
good.
Everybody has my number. So I don't know. Right now I'm waiting. I got to meet an expert because my orthopedic surgeon told me, actually day before yesterday, he goes, I don't feel comfortable doing it. He goes, I couldn't do you any favors, so I'm going to send you to an expert. That's all he does is shoulders. But he mentioned a procedure that he thinks the only thing that could help me would be a reverse shoulder replacement of arthroplastic or something like that. So it's basically they're going to give me a plastic shoulder. And I don't know, it's like on the outside of the cuff instead of on the inside. It's a fairly new procedure. But he said he doesn't know about, you know, how good it is because it's so new. They don't really have long-term results to see what it's, you know, how it's going to be in the long run, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So my choices are I can try that because nothing else is going to work, or I can take my chance and live in pain and then get frozen shoulder. So I'm kind of stuck either way.
Something up. I don't mean to annoy you. Are you familiar? How far are you from Fresno?
40 minutes.
Okay. Do you know that in May 6th through the 8th, Lady Bikers of California are all going to meet in Fresno? Women riders only. The host hotel deals up to 4 in a room. They have a few rides on Saturday and a ride on Sunday. This is all coming up down the road. And if you want to get this month's copy of Thunder Press, they're going to talk about it May 6th through the 8th, Chech, in Fresno. I thought that was kind of close to you guys, maybe.
We're going to that. I'm going to that, even if I got to drive my car. But, I'm actually belong to the Bikers of California. It's we're all over the place. So,
good.
Yeah, the gal, Carrie Hendricks, she's really amazing. She started this, and she rides all the time. And matter of fact, I'm having my Valentine ladies run. We meet in Visalia. It used to be the Holiday Inn. Now it's called the Windrum Hotel. And we meet on Saturday. We're going to spend the night at the Holiday Inn, or actually at the Windrum Hotel, and have dinner and hang out and, you know, party a little bit. That's Saturday night, the 6th. And then the 7th, we ride to Harris Ranch. And the first year, you know, my husband died and I was alone, so I had like 6 of us girls got together. We had a good time. The next year there was like 12. The following year, 17. Last year we had 28. And this year I belong to the Lady Bikers of California. And we have 72 women coming.
About
awesome. Cha-cha, I'm going to have to stop you for a second here. Phil's trying to place a call through for a big ride coming about autism. And
okay, go ahead.
A second, because these people got this is kind of important for these people. This is people from Hawaii. So,
Philip, go ahead.
Give us 1 second while Philip pushes buttons and dots and dildos.
Dots and dildos?
It slipped out. Dots and but whatever the hell you push, I don't know what you do over there. Computer stuff. So, where are we at, Philip?
Right here.
Oh, 254-702. Are you out there, please? If so, tell us who you are. Calling from, and what you want to talk about, brother? You got
what's
the
going on? Alex from Hawaii got an autism ride coming up in April. trying to make it, personally, trying to make it the biggest ride in Hawaii, trying to spread it out, let everybody know that's on the island. It's not a big island, so
Alex,
trying to get pretty much all the support we can.
Alex, this is Jocelyn's mom, Stacy. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Good. I want you to tell our audience, because we got a large veteran population, I want you to tell them a little bit about your background.
Uh-huh.
Not in any detail, you know, but like a little bit about yourself, because I want everybody to know that you are active duty, you know,
okay.
And you're taking time out to put this run together amongst your already busy schedule. But give our audience a little background on you.
All right. Yeah, like she said, I'm active duty military. I've bounced to a few bases. This is my fourth duty station in 4 years.
Well, thank you for your
Germany.
Service there, my friend, as two former military to one active, and we congratulate you. Go ahead, brother.
Thank you, guys.
So what island are you talking about doing the event from, please?
I'm on Oahu.
Oahu,
okay.
We need
Honolulu
to know.
Is.
We need to know. We don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah,
here.
So, all right. So I've served in Germany, Fort Benning, Fort Hood, and now I'm in Hawaii. Served in Afghanistan. Did a tour over there. I'm a sergeant. I've been a sergeant for almost 2 years now. In July, we'll make 2 years. Looking to get E6 pretty soon. Just got to get my wife's school done, because that's what's holding me up. But yeah, I've served for a while now. Got the whole military thing down to science.
Now, I've known Alex since he first signed his enlistment papers, because him and my daughter did some like pre-recruitment training together, and
mm-hmm.
I've watched this young man evolve into the person he is, you know, and it's pretty amazing stuff. But I was touched with the fact, you know, when I had messaged him, actually it was a kind of a joke thing going back and forth, because I never expected to see Alex on a motorcycle, and through conversation he had told me that he was putting together this run for autism on the island, and that's a cause near and dear to my heart, and most of the majority knows why. And I really wanted to push this, you know, and make it an all-the-time thing until, you know, we can find a cure for autism or find out what causes it and why there's such a massive rise in it. And I think this is a wonderful thing. I mean, he's doing it on a small island, and eventually he'll come home, and, you know, maybe we can pull it in the States on a very larger scale, because the need for research and money for research, it needs to, you know, we need to find something to stop the rise of this.
Go over here by us. There's I think there's four to six of those throughout the year here.
Wow. Yeah, I know we have there's another one here. I'm not sure of the date yet, but they got another autism ride here. But they're kind of just, hey, we're gonna do a ride, and after the ride, you know, everybody can go their separate ways. Like for my ride, I've contacted all the bike clubs on island through president's meetings. We had my president.
Have you met with the Pacific Cities yet?
No.
Okay, well, we can hook that up for you.
Okay. So we messaged car clubs. We let car clubs know, because I told them, I said, I don't want this just to be, you know, just your average ride. Hey, let's go ride and drink some beer. Because that's not what my intentions were. I even I contacted a local family. They're through my GoFundMe account that I have for the donations. We can get the T-shirts and, you know, all the food and stuff for after. There was a family raising money for speech therapy for their son. So I messaged her. I said, hey, I was like, you want to bring your kid out on April 23rd? We're hosting a ride for autism. We're going to swing money to the Hawaii Autism Foundation, and we can swing money your way as well for your son's speech therapy and anything else that you guys need. So I'm waiting on her to come back just to double check. But my buddy over here, he's pretty big into like these stormtroopers from Star Wars. So I contacted them, and they're going to have like 10 little stormtroopers coming out dressed up for the kids. So it's a little bit, I'm trying to make it a little bit bigger than just a ride. Everybody needs to know about it.
Are you open this to get all makes, all models, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
See if we hook them up with the Pacific Savages, Bill.
That's a very good possibility with that. That'd help an awful lot. I don't want to be sarcastic, Al, but I got to ask you, because, you know, that island ain't the biggest damn island in the world. Tell me how the motorcycle is going to start at Waikiki, work around with Diamond Head, maybe Hanama Bay, or what are you going to do, brother?
We're starting at FRA, the Fleet Reserve Association in Honolulu. Probably going to do one big old lap. We'll go through Waikiki. I'll go around Cocoa Head, all the nice areas. Stay on the highways as much as we can. Like in Texas, we shut the roads down. We had police escorts for the roads. We had everybody was out there. Blockstars was out there doing their little stunts, and it was just everybody was coming from every direction. We had people come all the way from San Antonio, all the way out from West Texas. So I'm trying to like mirror what we did in Texas out in Hawaii. Just we probably have half the people, which is kind of the problem. But I'm trying to go around the island and come back to FRA. We'll start and end in the same spot. That way, people who aren't riding, they're at least where we started, so they can start their day as where the cookout and all that stuff is going to be. The exact route plan it's not 100% complete. We still have to have a meeting about it.
How about some corporate sponsorship? Let's give some kudos to them. Is there anybody stepped up to the plate to help you with the event?
Not yet.
Well, how about some of the big companies out there? I start hitting every one of them. Corporate sponsorship is the best way to raise the money, especially since you're going to have a limited amount of people. And I'm thinking, of course, like the monster drinks. I'm thinking about soft drinks. I'm thinking about maybe one of the submarine places. You're going to need to raise some funds. And to do that, corporate sponsorship. How about the authorized dealerships on the island? Are they endorsing this, or are they hugging this at all?
They
authorized Harley-Davidson dealerships and authorized dealerships.
Yeah. I still have to go around and ask them. I've been in the field, actually. I just got out of the field. So after this event got approved, I haven't really had time to go out. I have a huge list. One of the things that I did I thought was kind of smart. When I went on the Autism Foundation of Hawaii, I looked at their sponsors, took all the information down. Most of them have, where you can request a donation or something along those lines. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to contact them. I contact this a lady from the actual foundation, and she was going to get back to me more and have a meeting with me so we can figure out what they can do to help.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to branch out. It's just right now with the schedule, because we're in the field. We come back, and then we reset and then go right back to the field. So with my position, I drive for my sergeant major. So I'm like, wherever he wants to go, it's, hey, I got to go right now. All right, let's go. And then come back and, hey, we're doing it again tomorrow. So
hey,
like every day I've been going out.
Get him on board. Get him on board your program.
I actually talked to them, him and my battalion commander, about it, trying to get them. So.
Hug him.
Those are good people to have in your pocket.
That's why I'm saying get him in the program.
How about starting the event off with color guard and some of the American flag. Any chance we do something like that? Start the runoff?
We could definitely come up with that. I don't think that would be a problem.
It always gets everybody in the right frame of mind and all that, you know?
Exactly. Do you have any local radio stations out that
might consider covering the event for an hour or two, doing a live telecast, kind of like what Philip and I are doing right now? Is there anybody local there in the island, AM or FM?
I haven't even checked, to be honest with you. I haven't checked. I know, like, when we had an event at Aloha Stadium where they do the Pro Bowl, and they had news people out there for the last event. So I'm sure if I call them, let them know the date, send them a flyer and stuff, I'm sure we could get them out there, because that wouldn't be a problem. I know another thing I was doing, too, is for at least to get independent riders out there and stuff like that was I'm going to every single battalion mentor for the motorcycle sponsorships, and I'm just like, hey, this is the event that we got going on. you guys can host a meeting here, let all your riders know. For now, 100 flyers, you guys can have them, hand them out, do whatever you guys got to do. Helps out my neighbors, actually, a motorcycle mentor on Wheeler, which is the opposite side of Schofield. And he is able to help, too, because he has about 75 riders. He's trying to get them all.
You know, Alex, out here we have a lot of riding clubs, which are based out of Camp Pendleton, and they're considered exclusive military clubs. If you have a riding clubs, military clubs out there?
CVMA is out here, and they have a Marine one as well.
Okay.
Well, you know, Bill,
so I'm like,
the Army with the Marines, I think
when that happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
I got three Marine Corps members in my club right now. So usually
I've never
I don't really swing that way, but I learned to get along with them. Coming in, everybody's like, we don't like this branch, we don't like this branch. But after getting to know these guys, I'm kind of just like, I'm on the fence in between. I'm just like, all right, cool, you guys do this, we do this.
Well, the Army's got to
do it a little different.
Army of one. And since I live right next to Camp Pendleton, I am the Army of one. I'm surrounded day and night by thousands of Marines. It's their style. So if we can't use a little
Humor,
the island, we'll never.
Yeah, well, I like about the island is they're on one side.
Alex, you got to expand your, I don't want to say your circle, that's not the word I want, your crew putting this on. You've got to get more people in there. You cannot wear this many hats.
Yeah.
You need to try to bring
I'm aware of that one.
People, Alex, you cannot possibly be everywhere, do everything. You'll burn yourself out. So I would suggest that you start looking around and see who can get involved. You need one person doing just the PR, talk to the radio and television stations. And there, you need that same PR person that's contacting newspapers, any magazines. They're the contact. You cannot do everything. And it sounds like you've got a good partner. I'm not denying that. But I just want you to know that the event you're doing is going to grow strongly. So you've got to start learning to delegate some authority and stop wearing so many hats. So you're going to fry yourself out, and then that's not going to help at all.
Yeah, what I got
merely
doing that though is I got two members that are actually locals.
Okay, good.
So they know a lot of people. One of them his family's pretty well known on the island, and he's kind of dealing with the sponsorships as well. So he's just trying to get companies. I gave everybody tickets. So like, hey, I don't know any of these people on this side of the island. So you get this side. I have Schofield area. And then we have somebody out in the Ella Beach, so he's selling tickets over there. But
Alex, is there any chance you have any
Facebook?
Do you have any type of a grand marshal? Is there any celebrity on the island you can, bring in here so that they can lead the group out? Some TV, movies, some celebrity that, because the press will eat up a celebrity fan. That's the best way to go. They can just leave the group out. They don't have any special duties, just to sit there in case the press comes in. There they are. You might do the research.
I haven't even looked at that one. But I'm definitely looking into that and figure out how to way we can get somebody out here that is from the island.
Yeah.
That's actually a genius idea.
How about the Hooter girls? Do you have any Hooters out there on the island?
There is. We had an event actually at Hooters probably about a month ago, and a few of the guys I guess they know some of the girls pretty well, so we could probably use that one as well, because I know guys like seeing girls like that. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's
if the Hooters let the girls come out there at the beginning of the ride, that'd be a great send off. Now, Alex, this ride you're going on, are you making any stops on the way, or is it just a start and finish?
It'll probably just be a start and finish.
And how many miles is that, Alex?
Around the island, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. I'm not even going to lie.
I can't remember that far back. About 50 miles, I think, more or less.
So, yeah, pretty much.
You know, I'd like to encourage you, if possible, on some of your organizations that are donating some stuff, Monster energy drinks or whatever it's going to be, or the Hooters, you might try to make a arrangement with the group if it doesn't take you too much off the highways and all that. So you go by some of these large sponsors. So
mm-hmm.
everybody beeps the horn and waves. That gives the sponsors of the event some more credibility, saying, hey, yeah, we donated, and look at all the people waving. And that's good for the television, the magazines, and the newspapers to see the support on that. Now, I realize
mm-hmm.
you can't pull in these parking lots, excuse me, aren't that big. But maybe you can
mm-hmm.
drive by long enough so that you can beep, beep, and wave. They can all PR on that. You want these people to help you, but you got to give them something back. They've got to
yeah, exactly.
as to why they're doing this, not because Alex is a good guy. Corporate sponsorship wants to know, hey, what are we making for this? KFC, the Colonel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, we'll talk about anybody out there that you want. A corporate sponsorship is the key for your event. You only have so many people on the island. You only have so many riders. You will not grow, Alex. You cannot
mm-hmm.
grow. Logistically, you don't have the numerical digits. However, as a ride becomes successful and you tap into corporate sponsorship, now you're reaching the big bang. That is going to be
okay.
the key. The first year, put the event on so that everybody's successful and keep it simple. Don't go for anything too crazy. And then let all the corporate sponsors see what type of work you did. So the following year,
okay.
it really starts putting these people away. If you have access to a junior college nearby or college, you might talk to the video department and see if they would voluntarily come out and shoot a video, or can you get some of your people shoot a video of the whole event, Alex, so people can see
okay.
when you first take off and then put a couple of GoPros on the helmets or whatever, and they can see things.
Mm-hmm.
This, you want to shoot the island highlights, but the star of this video is the people that ride with you. So get all the group
okay.
shots you can. If in the video it's possible to shoot in the videos of, I'm sorry, like, say Hooter shows up with a bunch of chickens. Man, get them in that little video, like, that's what people need to see. And I wouldn't be surprised by the second year, Alex, if you want to sell that video, especially
okay.
if you shoot
yeah.
in the parade, they can say, hey, man, I like his $10, $15, man. Can I keep that so I can take it home and show my friends that, you know, I was there for the first one, the second one, and maybe they might even be in the video, perhaps. So, shoot
okay,
the video.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
It's got to be planning for the next year, and then the year after that, and the year after that. So keep it
okay,
simple.
Yeah, I have I actually have somebody that does that out here. It's a female. She does like little photo shoots and videos for the guys to show off their bikes. I'm gonna contact her when I get off this. I'm gonna see if she'll come out. Three of our guys have GoPros, so we can spread out a little bit. And I know a lot of people have them over here, so that's a great idea as well.
Yeah, let's
not pop it on YouTube with a GoFundMe.
That's what I'm open for.
With
yeah.
GoFundMe.
Yeah.
That again, Phil, please.
So you can pop it up on YouTube with a GoFundMe link.
You hear me?
True. Yeah.
And let's not eliminate these
American
bikers.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm
yeah.
not just a good-looking guy. I'm smart too, Bill.
I've heard somebody
mm-hmm.
say that about you. It was
mm-hmm.
No, I've never heard anybody say that about
okay.
you. Okay. Don't forget.
Wait, I say that about Phil.
Don't forget the metric. Because they need the publicity even more. The Harley crowd, you know, is going to show up. Get the metric market
mm-hmm.
in there, and if there's any large metric dealership, you can bring the parade of bikes by them or close to them with that. They need that publicity. And, of course, maybe they can
okay.
donate or some GoPros or, I guess, some
mm-hmm.
cameras on pods, or I don't know what they're doing actually these days with that. But that's a good thought there, too. Man, I'm telling you, it's so interesting to talk to you because you're so fresh and it's so new and you have so many
mm-hmm.
ways to go. But I know I've said this 3 or 4 times, and I don't mean to be a jerk, but, man, you cannot wear that many hats.
Yeah.
You need to keep strength up. You need to help up. You need to keep your attitude up. And if you try to do too much, you'll
fall mm-hmm. flat.
Yeah, you fall flat.
And then the other question that's going to come up is, where is all the money going?
So all the money is going to be going towards the Hawaii Autism Foundation, and as long as the family gets back to me, I can split that 50-50. Now, the GoFundMe is for the T-shirts. to be made. The price I got back from Texas was $1,000 for 200 shirts. But the more colors we put into it, it's going to be the more expensive it is. So I kept it simple. The guy who started the ride in Texas, he came up with the design, and then I finally put it on the T-shirts last night.
Okay.
Yeah, but so, you gotta keep it simple.
Keep the cost down. Mm-hmm. You can go with one or two colors only. The first year,
that's all I did was black and on white shirts. I put the Ride for Autism in the front, and then on the back, it's just a picture of the islands.
Okay, you know what we can do, too, is on the back of the shirts, the sponsors want to kick a few bucks.
Sponsorships, yeah.
Put the sponsors on the T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to do. I know he has, because the guy who started the Ride for Autism for the one I'm a part of is, his name is Victor Mejias. He's out of Texas. And his kid has autism, so he hosted the ride. They're on their third ride this year out of Killeen. So if any listeners are from Killeen or anywhere in Central Texas, the ride is the same day, same time in Killeen. It'll start in Killeen. You can look it up on Facebook, Ride for Autism ATX. It'll be on there. But he's the one that came up with, you know, the idea. He actually called me on Christmas. I was like, hey, would you guys want to do a ride out in Hawaii for autism? And me, I'm not gonna say no. I did the ride when I was there. I'm not gonna say no to him. But I actually came up with a club in Texas, which is still standing. So we got pretty close, and I got one of my parents' close friends. Their son has autism, so you know it holds a little bit closer to me, especially watching him grow up since he was really small.
Alex, the ride in Texas. How long is that ride going on? How many years now?
It's on its third year.
Alex,
it,
we
got to
contact
getting the, bigger and bigger.
You got to contact the people in Texas and tell them what you want is a complete breakdown of their run. You want to know how many people were there the first year?
The first question, Bill, is that we always ask, and we do this religiously. Mm-hmm. Where does the money go?
Right, exactly.
Because we've had experiences with people where, well, once I get all my expenses, or once I do this, or once no. If you're gonna do the ride for autism, diabetes, mm-hmm. whatever.
Make sure the money goes there.
Yeah, exactly.
100% goes there.
So we need from Texas, we need a breakdown of how many people show up the first year, what type of vendors they use, what type of sponsorship they had. We need every single thing on paper that Texas can send you.
Okay.
That'll help you make your run a little bit
easy.
Smoother. Second year and third year. What time of the year do they plan it? What type of press do they have? Newspaper, magazines, cameras, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that they will share with you is so critical because it'll make your event a little better. You can kind of plan it, if you would, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been in contact with Victor almost every single day. I'm always calling him, giving him updates. He does the same for me. Because what I wanted to do originally was on the back of the shirts of the Hawaii Islands, I wanted to put the puzzle pieces, like, inside the islands as the background. And he's
right.
Just like, hey, man, he's just like, just keep it simple because otherwise, you know, you're going to be paying crazy out of pocket for the shirts. And if I knew I was going to do this ride 6 months ago and start, I probably would have started funding then because then, you know, it's a little bit better designing, a lot better planning. For us, we had to get approved just to even do the event. So that's what kind of took us so long. And it's just like, okay, well, now we have the event. This is exactly what we have to do. We have to lay a blueprint out of step by step on everything and how everything's supposed to go. So that's what we're, you know, we're kind of just going down the list as every day goes by.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take all the, I got a little book I've been writing, everything you guys have been saying down for, you know, ideas and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Again, I applaud what your enthusiasm, and of course, Philip and I applaud what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you forget anything, you can revisit the blog site because
mm-hmm.
everything is kept in an archive there. So, you can revisit it anytime.
Okay, you tell
me about the radio.
Okay, Philip's got something to jump in here real quick. Philip, you want to tell him about that?
And if he doesn't remember everything that we've talked about, he can go back and listen to the show because it's archived, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be posting it as well.
Yeah, I can't help but emphasize that, man. You really got to put yourself a good team together, and just can't overstretch yourself. Keep it simple.
Okay.
But you got to think of corporate. First year, get it done. Second year, well, you got to start with the first year. But second year, corporate sponsorship, corporate sponsorship, corporate sponsorship. Man, that again, you have again an island with only so many people. You're not going to grow.
Yeah. Point. Yeah, exactly.
The goddamn person on the island. So what can we do? To get the event going, we let the motorcycle riders have a good time. Now we can start deepening into the corporate sponsorships. Ben and Jerry ice cream, whatever the hell you're going to, it doesn't, whatever's going to get on more, that's the money. But those people usually need a year in advance so they know where they're going to send their money to. They are, all the big companies, Walmart, Kmart, they'll all get on board. I might give some thought to I might want to talk to the people, see if maybe you might want to bring a bloodmobile in. Tell them this, you know, like to, if you'd like to get some blood, and we're over here, give them some blood too. Make it so realize, hey, this is about the Hawaiian people helping the Hawaiian people. So just, not just about, we got the bloodmobile over here, we got this going on over here. The money we're raising is for your cause. But make it so more open so that everybody can feel like, hey, it's Hawaiians helping Hawaiians.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's you know, that's where all the intentions are at right now, and I'm just hopefully we can get everything banged out before April 1st even hits. I want all, like, for me, I want all the t-shirts in, all everything that's already settled, just to make sure, at least, because 3 weeks in advance is more than enough time.
Alex, who's your MC for the event?
Split Face MC, which is my MC.
Okay, you're going to be the MC for today, Master of Ceremonies?
Yes.
Okay, so you got a little stage set up, a little PR system?
Or
What?
If they can get a hold of someone, a celebrity, make them the co-MC.
Right.
Or reach out to one of the first sergeants or sergeant majors if they ride and make one of them the MC.
If you don't have money to set a stage up, you certainly got friends of yours that got a flatbed truck or a long pickup truck, put the PA system up above the crowd so they can see you. And then what I like to try to do is put a little tripod up and put a grease board up. And on the grease board, 10 o'clock this, 11 o'clock this, boom, 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 boom. So people can see what's going on for the whole day without asking, hey, what? Read the damn grease board. It's right here. You, though, as the, if you're going to be the MC or bring a different MC in, these got to be on the program. They got to be positive people. They got to be out there talking to the crowd. And the secret to my success and Phil's success here is if we're on stage and something just bombs, you show it at all. Let everybody else go, what the hell's going on? MC, you smile like that's what you planned it to happen. And in my course of my life, everything's gone wrong at some point in time. You smile while you got the mic and you're talking to the people. Make them feel like this is what we planned it, folks. That's a, so your attitude, emceeing, setting the people off is going to set the whole tone. Positive, strong, and giving as much information as you can. Now, that's why I like the big grease boards, so people can read the board. Say, what's going on, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, blah, 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 blah. So don't keep walking up to you and asking you over and over and over. If I can, when Philip and I are on stage and we are speaking, people... I don't want this to sound egotistical. We don't speak. We don't have people come talk to us. There's too much things for us to do, so we have people by the stage, and people walk up to them, and they can put all the questions together, and they can get the answers, and then if necessary, they can say, Bill, Phil, can you address this issue here, and we'll talk about it. You are not here to talk to everybody during the event. Once you're on the stage, you've got the mic, you've got your agenda, and that's for all of the people. Little bottlenecks. That's got to be, for, I don't want to say sergeant of arms, but whatever you want to use that person there. They are stopping the crowd. They're going to address all the questions. They will address what they can. Only if they can't will they get a message to you up on stage. You cannot stop what you're talking to answer a question about, well, the food will be here, such and such. No, no, no. That's got to be for other people. I'm not.
And I just posted the links for this in the chat room.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Yeah.
Okay.
This is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't want you coming across as egotistical, because I don't think Philip and I are, but it is so important to have such a structure that everybody there is thinking, oh, they got it under control, they got it under control. But if you'd be up there speaking and people be asking you questions, you'd stop what you're saying and answer the question, then you got to get back to what you're saying. No, you have to have other people blocking you from the crowd. And please don't take that as ego or attitude. It's just it's necessary to show
that's
the crowd or your
MC.
Hey, we got this under control. This is what we're doing, everybody. The best positive attitude you can possibly get makes the event. And Philip and I have been on stage laughing at each other because we know this has gone wrong. But we're still here.
So we can let someone know what's going on, not to toot our own horns. But let me play this real quick.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ben Munoz, and I'm here with Bill and Bill from the Phil and Bill Show. Thank you both for coming out to this amazing event. Thank you both.
Thanks for inviting us up here, buddy.
Oh, thank you. Anyhow, what did you guys think of the event?
Well, you know, what interesting with the event, I got to tell you, the fact that you took such a Herculean task on, instead of going to work with a big movie company, you did this with you and your friends and all that. That's the part that I find almost impossible. And I know people listen and think, well, I'd like to do a movie, but they can't. But they won't, because they say they won't. What made you think that, I can do something like this? Did you get a good crew together initially? Or what made you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to try this.
It started off with Paul Morey inviting me into to the project for Gilroy Unshackled, and we had some discussions about the project and where it was going. And yes, it is a faith-based project. Gilroy coming from a white fence and a destructive background and going on to bigger scenes in the echelon of gangs and so forth. I was really interested because it hit home with me on my side of what I was doing. And so collectively, I had certain resources, certain actors that wanted to come aboard. It's a process, and it's very difficult as independent filmmakers to put things together.
See, the reason I'm playing this for you, Alex, is I want you to hear this guy started from scratch to do this.
And also, if we the movie producer, director, and all that, he speaks well, but he's not comfortable speaking to two people. And Phil and I are up there because trying to get him into some more a human approach. And again, you don't speak at people ever. You speak to the people. Okay, Phil, kick some off.
You know, and just like anything else, when you're doing your biking event. You hear that? They do work in Mexico. They actually do a lot of runs down there, get a lot of bikers and people that support a cause for the less fortunate out in Mexico. And
you remember the Mardi Gras runs, the Summer Fest? We're going to revive those through Sweetwater.
We have a monster ride coming up here in December, the 200 tournament. 5,000 of us across the border once. We'll bring every single orphanage in that area together on Revolution Street. Thousands and thousands of
them.
You get a chance coming up. You have such a good feeling. Well, I digress. I want to talk about the film here.
What
the hell's going on?
No.
Now, don't be talking about Mexico. I was talking all day. Who had an idea? Who's the first person you called up and said, hey, I got this idea? Is he cooling the phone down on you or what?
No, actually, no. Some people know the history of Kilroy, some don't.
Uh-huh.
And I just, I recommend that people Google Ernest research and find out what he used to be and the transformation that has happened to where he's at right now. Spreading the word out there, pounding the pavement, going to different events, talking about not joining where he came from. He won't go too far in depth because they want to know real personal history. And like he said, if you want to hear a war story, read the Bible. And it's true.
Let me ask you this. If I was going to go, my first time I see it, what's the one single message? I know there's many messages in the film. What's the one single message you want everybody to kind of pick up on?
The one single message is that it's never too late to turn your life around. First of all, don't even get started. If you have an opportunity, to turn your life around and someone's trying to give you guidance, just listen to them. As a youth, as an individual, a young man, young lady, joining gangs, it's senseless. And this is what we're going to portray in the film part of. People say, oh, this is my street, this is my corner. Again, Kilroy, since you know, you're fighting over a piece of concrete that's not even yours.
That's right.
You know, the turf, one neighbor to the next neighbor is a total different gang.
So we're getting a little bit off track there, but
we are, but
you get an idea.
You know, the point was, this producer, this director, and we do this with a lot of Hollywood producers, they sometimes don't speak to the crowd. If you interrupt him several times, because he was getting a little off track, we're there talking about this special program for the gangs up there in L.A., he knows how to produce people, direct people. He wasn't perhaps the best person to be speaking freely, so we were directing him back into the program. I'm saying this because as the head MC, it's got to be you. In this case, he needed us to keep him back on track. He's got to be that boom, 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 boom. When I talk, it's machine gun stuff. Mm-hmm. Talk on stage. Don't have dead time. I don't have dead time for a second.
Yeah,
it kind of
comes out like this, Bill.
Yeah.
Kenny Smith, my partner Phil Hennigan, we're the Phil and Bill Show. What we think we are is the last bastion of freedom in America. I'm saying that because whoever you are, wherever you're calling me from, we want to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
In all the years Phil and I have been together, I have never taken somebody off the radio. If you disagree with me, I want to hear what you have to say. Now, we get people from all over America. We get Canada. Phil, approximately
well,
how many...
58 countries. You guys have listened to us in China.
Yeah, the China guys are having a hard time because we're not allowed to be in China.
Right.
They keep moving around an awful lot. Our show has been about for several years about the fact that we want to know what's going on throughout America, throughout Europe. We're not here to preach to anybody. The big misconception we have is that Philip and I have a serial against police departments.
We are not.
We are here to expose.
Yeah, we're here to tell you we're not running
if something is not kosher, or if you're...
We're getting a little off track there, but we're kind of getting the message here.
Yeah, so you can see right away, a strong PR, public relations man, that's the key. And if you can keep the audience together, and I sometimes, when I'm talking about a subject, and Philip and I both realize that... this is not the most exciting thing in the world. What we do, I bring Hooter Girls up on stage and throw T-shirts to the crowd. I'm telling you right now, I keep the crowd energy strong. And, Alex, this is so important. Again, first of all, I don't want to tell you what to do. It's your program. But since we're talking, I want to give you what we've gone through.
Some people, like Fran's in the chat room. Fran wrote that for the first year, will there be vendors? If there is, they give a percentage of what they sell.
Alex, you want to give us that question, please? First year, will you have vendors?
No, he doesn't know. He's not sure yet.
Yeah, I'm trying right now. In Texas, I know they do. They have a local restaurant that comes out and cooks for everybody as well.
Right.
But I'm also fairly new to the island as well. I got here in October, so it's a little bit challenging. But I got a little bit of a strong help though from behind me with the locals that I have in my club, which they will be going out and talking to the people that do that, so we can get those people out there.
You know, hang on a second, Alex. We got a girl, a lady named Nora from Chicago. She's got a question she wants to ask. Out there, you want to jump in here?
Hi, Bill. Hi, Phil.
Hi, how are you?
Nora. Hi, Alex. How are you? So
good. How are you?
Not too bad. So from what I understand, you're active in the military and you're doing an autism run. Okay. For one, thank you for your service that you provide.
Thank you.
For two, when did you or what? Because I missed part of it because my battery went dead. What brought you to wanting to do run for autism?
I was a part of it in Texas. We had a guy, his kid had autism, so he started the autism run. But he called me on Christmas and asked me to do it here. So I told him yes, and then brought it up to my club, and we brought it to the board, which finalized it. So that way we could start it here.
Okay, now is there going to be something like online where people can help donate or something for the Autism Run, or
yeah,
how is that working?
I have a Facebook on there. It's facebook.com Ride for Autism Hawaii. Has a GoFundMe link where people can donate. I also put it, so if somebody donates $20 or over, I'll send them a T-shirt regardless of where they live. I'll pay for shipping, and I'll send it right to them, to their door, so they can at least get something out of it as well, even if they can't ride. So
awesome. Now, where are the proceeds going to?
It'll be going to the Hawaii Autism Foundation.
Okay.
Which is here.
Right, where you're located at right now.
Yep.
Now, is it a big organization? Is it something that's just starting?
No,
you know,
they're already
into?
Been. Yeah,
they've been established.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now for the event that's taking place, are anybody from that foundation going to be there as well?
Yeah, they'll have one of their directors are going to be coming out. I have to meet with her coming up in the next couple of weeks. I'm supposed to call her on Wednesday of next week, but I'm going to be having somebody come out from them, and then I'm going to give them the money directly.
Okay. So that's 100% proceeds going to the foundation. Okay.
Now,
so
yes, and
ahead.
there's also I was telling Bill and Phil, there's also a child out here that their parents are raising money for speech therapy and all these other things for him. So I wanted to get him out there, and if he comes out there and they bring the kid out there, I can split it 50-50 between them. So money goes to the foundation, and money goes to somebody directly that I know needs it. But I want to meet with the family before I even do that.
Right. Now, when is the event taking place?
It's April 23rd.
Okay.
So just a few months away.
So if someone wanted to donate, like, today or next week or something, that's fine, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. And now, if the event turns out fine, are you planning to do it for the following year?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And the thing with the military, too, is if I end up moving again, my club will still run that event. So they'll run it every year, even if I'm not here.
Right.
Yeah, but what I'm going to do is, say if I get out of the military, which I plan to do in a couple of years, wherever I'm at, which is probably in Massachusetts, I want to start it there as well.
Okay.
Alex and Nora, need to hang on for a second. Eagle Rider Motorcycles, and they are a good organization for you guys to look up. Eagle Rider Motorcycle Rentals in Hawaii. And it is on contact them if you would. Another person want to speak to you, Philip, there, please. 619-57.
Hold on, 949, did you have a question?
You're talking to me?
You're 949-769?
No, hold on, friend.
Hold on, friend.
949, did you have a question or did you just want to listen?
Oh, I'm just listening.
All right, that's fine.
Go ahead, friend.
I recognize that voice.
Which one?
The one that was talking? It sounded like somebody familiar. I sent somebody in my club a link. I don't know if that's who it is. But
yeah, it's me.
Damn phone, talk
hey,
to
what's
us.
What's going on?
Yeah.
So this is this is my secretary
listening on the conversation.
All right, let's try that again. 949, tell us who you are. Phone, please.
Yeah, this is Zach.
Calling from.
Hello,
well, Philistine, Zach. You're Zach, and you are who?
I'm also in the club that he is in, Split Face MC, and we're doing the ride for autism. So I was just wanting to get on here and listen.
All right. Any questions you want to ask us?
No questions. Not yet, at least.
All right,
well.
Yeah, Zach was calling my phone like 10 times. I just kept hitting the voicemail button on him while I was talking on here, and then I just sent him the link to get on here. So.
Okay, I'm gonna jump in because there's a couple things that you said. One is, I'm going to split the money, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Before you even make those kind of comments, those decisions have to be made prior to making those comments. And as you know, it has to go through your club.
Yes.
Because your club and so forth makes that final decision. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do a ride and give half to a family member that needs it, that is autism, then, again, that has to be made prior to. Because if someone asks you, where is that money going, you need to be able to say, this is how we decided to break down.
Yeah, I have to talk to the family before we put that one in motion, though.
Yes.
Could you hear me? Please tell us what state you're calling from, what city?
I am calling from sunny, cold San Diego, California.
All right. These guys in a Vahi want to know.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm still not on a bike yet, but I did get to see the doc from the hand surgery. I'm doing good.
Okay, good.
Another 6 weeks.
Oh, that's a long time off a bike.
Oh, honey, it's been longer than that already. You have no idea. This would be a good time not to be around me. There are a couple things that I did put up, and that is the T-shirt. If you have not printed the back of the T-shirt, what we did is we took $20 a person. If there was a memorial section that somebody wanted to put, someone dead on there, there was a section for that, and there were charges. If you do anything on a sleeve, logo on a sleeve, that is more money because it costs more to actually do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very profitable because a sleeve is top dollar.
Yeah.
So you want good money for a sleeve?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, I mean, this is one of those things where you need to – we did this for one of the – well, we did it for years for a motorcycle run. And that was the money that actually funded the whole event.
Okay.
So
now, one of the things I wanted to do was for next year is like, so say you buy a ticket, right? And you tell me, hey, my kid has autism. So I said, like, I got a buddy, his kid has autism. He bought a ticket and I told him, hey, when you get your T-shirt printed, I was like, I'll put, you know, the puzzle piece on the side, on the sleeve, with your kid's name in it before I send it to you. That's not what I'm doing for every single person this year, but as far as an idea for next year, I thought that would have been a pretty cool idea because it is common. It's not something, you know, people think about every day, but the more people I've talked to about selling tickets and stuff like that, oh, I know this, my kid has autism. I have two kids with autism. You know, the more I've been, you know, getting out there and branching out is the more I'm even finding out myself of really how common it is.
I mean, as far as autism goes, they're really not even sure why or what causes it.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a lot of speculation. But what I'm suggesting is the names that go on the back of the shirt.
Yeah.
Those names are actually money on top of. In other words, if I want my name on that shirt, I give you $20 to put my name on that shirt. If it's a motorcycle club, then the motorcycle club can kick in 50, and if any member of that club wants to, then they chip in another 20 to put their name under that club name.
Okay. Yeah, that would be a good idea as well.
This is what we did. It's been a while since I've done this, but this is the kind of stuff that you do as – fundraising. You don't have enough time really to do it this year.
Yeah.
Okay? Because there has to be a deadline, has to be a cutoff, and at that point everything has to be in place. At least the T-shirt has to be put to bed 2 months, 3 months before the event. Everything as far as that T-shirt goes has to be put to bed within a certain time limit. The other thing is you're going to have to look at your sizes. The really super small, unless you're selling it for kids, those smalls, medium is decent, large, extra large, and larger for those. I did it politically correct, thank you. But you're going to have to get a better grip of size. I don't know if it's because we ride and eat so much that we have a tendency to be a little bit more well-rounded. Well, you know, I mean, it's true.
It is true.
So, well, these are all young, healthy people.
Oh, honey, they may be young and healthy, but I'll tell you, they're still well-rounded working there. Yeah.
I know, like, a lot of people, like, have bought tickets off me personally. Everybody has morally said large. That seems like the common size here.
Large and extra large, depending on the company that's printing it.
Yeah.
Because, again, it depends on the T-shirt. Does it shrink? Does it, you know, and that's a couple questions that you're going to get hit with. Do these T-shirts shrink? If they do, then they need a size larger.
Okay.
I mean, that's just kind of.
Yeah, common knowledge.
Yeah, well, no, it's not.
Well, some.
You would think it is, but it's
you
not.
Hope. Yeah, you would hope. Yeah, I got a place out here. I got priced out from Texas for 200 T-shirts. They're $5 a piece, so $1,000. And then Tuesday, there's this place that opens up right outside Post over here, which I kind of rather do because at least I can talk them down. Then have them do them so I can just, walk over. Hey, how many do you have done this week? Go grab them and go so I can start handing them out before the ride. So I'm not sitting there an hour, hey, here's a t-shirt, or have my club dispersed everywhere and, you know.
Well,
Alex, I want you guys to hear about my concern. Don't buy shit from communist China, communist North Vietnam, Cuba, and the goddamn... Buy something from a democratic country. Doesn't have to be America. Don't buy shit that supports a communist country.
Okay.
If you have the t-shirts already done, when a person buys a ticket, that is when you give them the shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you buy it, here's your shirt. Because then you're not trying to try and catch up later. Catch up is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, also, from the foundation you're talking about, if they can have a booth set up, and if they ask you why you want them to set up a booth, is because you want the public... Well, no, that comes. You want them there to be able to answer questions.
Gotcha.
Okay. Again, you're looking at doing PR work. When you're doing PR work, then you're also able to use your public PSA systems through the television and radio, get on the local radio station, and talk up about it. But you're going to have things in place in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to point out quickly this advice that we're giving you is just our opinions. This is your run.
It's fine.
Our people putting it on. If we're coming across too strong, we're not trying to overwhelm you. We're simply giving you the experience of all the large organizations that we've worked with and we've helped make them successful. But bottom line is anything that you think doesn't sit well with you, don't do it. Whatever you think is your choice, it's got to be your responsibility. Please don't take what we're saying as we're trying to push something down, you a bunch of strangers. This is your program.
No, I've been taking notes on everything that's been said. So, you know, I take all the ideas, and then when we go to our next meeting, I can just bring it up and then just spill everything out so we can disperse it. Who's going to do what? So,
as Philip said, you can go back to the archives and go over anything we said if it's something you think that's pertinent. You have a tremendous uphill battle, and I don't want to be philosophical on you, but... only taken a single step on a 1,000-mile journey. That's what you got. It is so frustrating. As time gets closer, it's going to start slamming on you. So just take a deep. It's your event. Make the best out of it.
Okay.
We got people all across America.
And always keep a smile on your face, regardless of what it is.
You hear that?
Okay. I always do.
Always, I'm always smiling, even if everything's gone to shit. That's your job. This is burning down. That's right, folks. We planned a special for you, Venture.
Yes.
You know, Fran has seen me on stage. I don't know how many times, and she knows that things aren't going quite the way we planned it. But as long as Phil and Bill are speaking, as long as we get the mic and everybody's happy, they'll be happy too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it's kind of exciting. I would love to go back. Fran, how about you? Love to go back in time to when we first did our first charity events. That'd be kind of exciting now, you know.
One of the first, I remember when we did the first Ride, Stride, and Roll, you were actually on top of a flatbed truck.
That's right.
I don't know if you still have that picture. You had to come down to talk to the person that was in the wheelchair.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
With it now, yeah.
And I honestly don't remember how many years back that was.
No. It's when I had long, dark hair. Now I've got a receding gray hairline, so I don't know. But that's a long time, Fran. I know one I did for some children, and I jumped off the stage, and I got down on one knee and spoke to the children, and it was one of the best photo shots we've ever done with that. It made me feel real good. Now, we love to include the American flag everywhere, and Fran, I mentioned that to him. If they can bring the color guard in and the American flag, that's the best way to start a program off. Do you agree?
Definitely.
You know that picture of me under a flag?
That's what I was thinking of. Can you describe that shot?
Yeah, I spent 6 hours in the parking lot, and all I got was pictures.
Yeah, yeah, everybody's but you got
We're
the best
lucky.
Picture there, right?
Yes.
By the way, Fran is many things.
What was that, like a 20 by 50 hanging off that LaHooka from the fire truck?
Oh, God. That was a huge...
I think in the Army we call that a garrison flag. Wrong.
Yeah, that was one of those. More than 150.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was yeah. But you sure did look good under it, though.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And I even got the bolt patch and everything else in there too.
Alex, I want to deviate very slightly and put you on the spot. And usually we don't do this, but this has been bugging the hell out of me lately. Very recently, the United States Court.
U.S. Supreme Court,
you're looking at an angle over here. They've decided that wearing unearned military medals is free speech. Now, I belong to, and Phil and I belong to, American Legion, VFW, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you have a right to wear. Anybody wearing medals they don't belong, it's just another one of my things that bugs the shit out of me. But now our government said that you can wear military medals if you don't even qualify to wear them. How do you feel about that?
I don't think you want to get me started. If this is a two-hour show, we're going to be here tomorrow night if I get on this. I don't agree with that whatsoever. If you don't earn it, you don't wear it. It's that simple. You see people doing like all those. You see all the stolen valor videos on YouTube and stuff like that. It's kind of just sickening, and it's pretty bad when you have comedians making. Videos of, hey, like, they're pretending to have stolen valor and just, it just irks me. I don't know how I would react if I seen something like that. Because I've lost friends over
American
there, so.
We tell everybody, Philip and I, don't come in these programs at all if you're wearing medals, because we will check up on you. And if we find out VFW, American Legion, anybody pulling any
actually,
bullshit,
Bill,
we throw them out.
When you join in your first event, they fucking check your shit.
Yeah, we did just disrespectful.
Embarrass you. I've been the one where they embarrassed the guy for that.
I'm former military. My father's military. My grandfather's military. I'm not saying I'm anything special, but damn, anything I got, I deserved. For anybody to go in there, some people not even in the military, and try to pull off like they're a retired sergeant and they get medals. There's something seriously wrong with these people. But the United States government to come up with that saying they have a right to wear the medals because it's under free speech. It's just one more example why, as much as I love this country, this government's getting my last good nerves, boys and girls. My last good nerve.
Somebody should ask him if it's okay to dress up as a cop. Be like, yeah, can I dress up as a cop and go everywhere?
Jesus.
It'd be the same thing.
Yeah. Fire department,
no,
whatever.
The difference
yeah.
that they would say is that you would be impersonating. Therefore,
yeah.
they would make that illegal.
But at the same time, you got to think, too, is they're also impersonating, you know, a soldier or a Marine or, you know, something along whatever branch of whoever they're trying to impersonate. Like, you see half and half. I've seen some guy wear an Air Force top with Army ribbons. It's like, come on, man. Just that stuff needs to stop.
Philip and I are a few years, obviously, before you and all that. Philip and I have never talked about what we did for the military. I do applaud my partner, Philip, because of the fact that he did a good job when he was there. He never talks about anything he did. Not ashamed of anything. It was a job that had to be done. Did his job. I did my job. Zach, I don't need to go out in public and show off, hey, blah, 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 and then find out it's bullshit. I believe that,
yeah.
First of all, whatever you did, God bless you. Like Audie Murphy, World War II, got in more medals than everybody. That's what he wants to do. He wants to show that off. I just believe
yeah.
that I was in the military. I did the job they assigned me. They gave me a citation or whatever. I put it away, and I was grateful for that. But when I see somebody that didn't accomplish anything, trying to get recognition for something that I'm willing to just pull back on, because I believe time in Phillip's time is over. You're in the military. And I
yeah.
know Phillip's going to say, once
yeah.
a Marine, always a Marine. I know that was coming. But we believe that the soldiers, men and women today, that we have to pay attention to, we have to acknowledge them. Philip and I came back from overseas in a different frame of mind. The American public were too keen on what we were doing.
Yeah.
Different story. So we emphasize the fact that for our government to keep taking more and more rights away from us, it just gets on my last good nerve. Oh, well. Guys, I got on my soapbox.
It's definitely changed. Even in the last 5 years, I've seen it change dramatically from when I first came in to now. Military itself, at least from my aspect, is just not going in the direction that it should be, especially
no.
with all the funding. Like, I'm a tanker. I was a tank gunner at Fort Hood for 2 years, and it got to a point where we have 4 people to a tank. My platoon had 5 tanks, so you're supposed to have 20 people, right? I had maybe 12, maybe at best, and that was going overseas. So, and that was like every platoon. Like we were like 40 people short in the whole company, and
wow.
even here it's the same way. It just keeps getting smaller and smaller.
Well, our government believes that the power is in the missiles, the rockets. Power. The truth of the matter
yeah.
is, for all countries, we have to send our sons and daughters overseas to fight. Now,
well, I agree.
There is going to be, and I say soldier, let me correct that, the military man or woman is going to be the first one in there. You can talk about all these Star Wars bombs that we got in. That ain't going to happen in today's wars.
It's not as effective.
Is going to go into whatever military person is going to go into whatever small country we need, rescue somebody, do whatever we got to do. It still goes back under manpower. And yet, how can we keep cutting our manpower back? I don't know.
Exactly.
All I
can say is getting worse.
Is I hope everyone watches the movie Unbroken. The other movie is American Sniper. With American Sniper, ask yourself, could you shoot a child knowing that that child could very well blow up somebody? And when that decision, right then and there, I mean, it's part of the movie. Could you actually follow through on that? Some of the questions that one should really ask themselves after watching that kind of a movie, it's There's a lot there.
Yeah.
So, Fran, let me ask you a direct question. Such a thing as a man killing somebody and a man murdering somebody. What is your opinion of that, Fran?
There's a
soldier. Soldier.
There's
killing somebody.
There's a difference.
Somebody. Go ahead, Fran.
There's a big difference because one is in the line of protection of, you know, country, state, and what have you. The other one just murdering somebody.
Choice, Fran.
And
how can
just murdering. Pardon?
How do you make that choice at the last split second? You're going to kill the person, or you're going to shoot the person, but did I kill them or did I murder them? How can anybody make that choice? You asked me if I could kill a child. Oh, yeah. A situation like that, I would just say to myself, this is not my normal lifestyle. This is something that has to be done. It would not affect me. But I do realize that unarmed people are being murdered. There is a difference to me. And I'm grateful that I'm no longer involved in all that stuff. And Zach's out, whatever he's got to do. But killing and murder, I see two different things there. I think the Bible says, thou shalt not murder. Many people misconstrue that as thou shalt not kill. Read that a little more carefully. The definition is thou shalt not murder. It's not thou shalt not kill. If so, how could a policeman kill somebody in the line of duty? How could a sniper terrorist? We do have to kill people.
But I was there.
Thou shalt not murder.
Thank you.
What if we have to deal with? Or, excuse me, deal with.
So.
Well, as far as, like I say, is watching that movie, even if a person in the line of duty, whether it be an officer or, you know, a soldier, that causes mental stress regardless. That's part of why we have so many coming back from the war and taking their own lives.
That's right. Fran, I'm going to stop. Please, Fran, and I apologize this here. I got everybody off on the wrong track talking about something I was personally concerned with. Would like to get Zach back on about his program. Fran, I appreciate what you were going to say. I apologize, both you two guys. That was me getting off track talking about a personal thing. We're not here to talk about me. We want to get Zach back on his program again. Zach, can I take over the show a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm. Zach, you there?
Is it there?
I don't know.
You got to go to the show, Zach. Tell us about your program. I led us astray by bringing the subject up. Personal thing. That's not about the show. We would like you to continue talking about your program because people are listening in, Zach.
Zach, do you have access to some very charming young ladies that would be willing to wash bikes? That has a tendency to be a very nice fundraiser as well at the event.
I don't think he's on.
We lost him.
Awesome. I just texted him. He said he's not on.
Okay.
Well,
they certainly got Fran, they've got an awful lot. Big play. Who's on now, please?
I'm still Fran. Zach.
Zach, you still with us? I lost Zach. Who we got? Who's on the air now? Fran, you still with us, right? We lost Fran.
Yes, I'm still with you, yes.
Well, we'll get back to what we're talking about, Zach's program here. You know, excited he's trying to do this, really concerned that what he's trying to do may be too much for him. I don't think he's got enough of a group to help him pull this off. I'm afraid he's going to do too much on his own and try to wear too many hats, and that's going to make him get burnt out. I hope up the plate and give him a united front. Fran, do you remember our organizations? We had a lot of volunteers, didn't we?
Yes, but I will tell you, the very first Father Joe Christmas Toy Run.
Huh?
John and I were it.
Mm-hmm.
We did not have anyone else guide us or help us set that up on that very first run that we took over. We did improve. We picked up from 500 bikes to whatever it was to the ending. Then, you know, when we actually would end the event, the very next week, we actually started in motion the next year's event.
The next year's.
And, yeah, and you really do need that time, because when you start putting stuff together, such as T-shirt, design, are you going to stay with the same design? Are you going to charge for this to vendors, to all of these different things? Do you have insurance coverage? Do you know, I mean, it gets to be really overwhelming. One of the events that I did for 10 years was the Ride for Kids. And that's mm-hmm. for those, that ride there, if you want to look at how that is set up, it's very similar to what you want to do. They decided that I was a little bit too overbearing and powerful in my parking duties and didn't take shit. Well, you know what? I take certain jobs real serious. If you don't, well, okay. That was my last year. And it's okay. After 10 years of service, you know what? Good. You can find somebody else to do my job. But you do need to have, you know, the pre-ride. You do need to do the how are you going to have the bikes parked? How are you going to have the public, if the public's involved, where are they going to park? How are you, I mean, there's, and all of that has to be done at, really, starting as of now.
Yeah, I'm kind of lucky with that, because at the FRA, it's where we host almost like 65% of the bike nights, which it holds a lot. And okay. they have a huge grass area for parking as well.
Even then, you're still going to want to do a walkthrough with,
mm-hmm.
with whoever is going to take that portion. And that does mean not you. You're
yeah.
going to do the walkthrough with two or three people. So if one bails, the other two knows what's going to be done. You need to actually give them a map and say, this is how they're going to be parked. This is what I want done.
Okay.
That's calling executive order. You
yeah,
will
we did
down.
That with a yeah, that's pretty much how we did our last event, and then we just had the prospects as far as doing, like, showing people where to park and all the parking, who parks where, stuff like that. So probably be the same design, just go through them with somebody else and then them.
So you already have, experience.
Yes.
Now, if you're going to be adding in the public and vendors and that kind of thing, you may or may not have time for vendors, but if that's the case, then you have to give them a time frame in which they must be completely set up, period.
Mm-hmm.
It's no, like, coming in late, I'm sorry. You
yeah.
have to be there on time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have time for anything more than that. And, again,
yeah.
you give somebody else that responsibility.
That responsibility, yeah.
You give a person, two people, the responsibility of taking care of that. You might draw up
okay.
the map where you want everything, but you
mm-hmm.
delegate. You tell whoever it is, you're going to take care of this.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much how it is
okay.
as far as me planning it was.
All right, so you're already halfway there.
Yeah, because I have like with my club, I mean, I'm the only one on the air talking, so it probably kind of seems like I'm running the entire show, but no, I do have, you know, I do have great support. It's just, you know, people working. It's only 5 o'clock here now. I mean, we went on the air at 4, so you know, everybody pretty much works a 9 to 5.
You know, Zach, we got to ask you. You've not stated your club's name once. You state you're from Hawaii, Oahu. State the club.
Yeah. So I'm a sergeant at arms for Split Face MC out here in Oahu. So for those of you guys listening and want to know, also it's on the flyers as well. If you check out the Facebook, you know, our patch is on there, so you can see it and get familiar with it.
And Philip has posted that link already, so everybody can archive the show afterward can follow through on this too.
Okay.
And the page also.
And the blog.
That's awesome.
And the blog. Everywhere.
And the blog. okay, let me write down. Sorry, that was writing.
Mike, if you want to wrap up anything else here, we're going to shut the show down a little. We've got something to go to. Is there anything else you want to add to your discussion, Zach?
Give him the link. Let him.
Oh.
Okay,
I just want to say thank you, guys. What is that?
Hopefully you're going to send Phil some photos so that they're up
course.
On Facebook. I mean, that's always, I'm a Facebook, but I'm not Facebook person.
Yeah.
But use Facebook to the fullest.
That's why I made its own separate page, which will be, you know, good for pretty much until I ever get rid of Facebook when I'm older. But it'll stay on there. Like the day of the event, I'll be posting pictures probably the entire day. Because I had the Facebook page straight to the phone.
You know, Bill, do me a favor.
Do me a favor, please.
Mm-hmm.
Most people
yep.
do not read the signed releases.
Mm-hmm.
Put a piece in that signed release that picture will be taken and posted.
Yep.
So that's in there. Like I say, most people don't read it. Therefore, you'll cover your ass if someone says, why did you post my picture?
Okay.
Good point there, Fran. Okay, Fran.
Yeah.
Not for nothing, you know.
Yeah, we're going to wrap this up.
I got a meeting. I got to be on another program here. So I'm going to say goodnight.
I got bike night in about 30 minutes, so it's good timing.
Perfect. Yeah.
Perfect song for you then, buddy. Perfect.
We're
going to
kick out with a song. Good night, everybody, and
thank you now. Thank you, guys.
Good night, all.
Running great. It's so smooth into the curve. What'd you do, Claudio? Zach, this is for you now from Bill and Phil Show.
Tire pressure.
Oh, what a difference. Look out, Jack. Hey, get out of here. I'm driving.